Book of Psalms, chapter number 147. I had great news of the doctor yesterday. They said I wasn't going to live till I died. How many have heard that before? Do you get that same thing? Okay. Some of you go to the doctor. I have a whole team. Okay. Matter of fact, I think I'm in a position now where I have a whole league. They're going to send me to another one yet. Keep track of something else. So, who knows? Chapter 147, and I want to read the first 11 verses of this psalm. And I hope and I pray God give us something tonight. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praise unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the leg of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for your marvelous word. We pray tonight you might speak in our hearts. Pray for the unction and the leadership of the Spirit of God tonight. And Lord, I pray that in each of our hearts we might receive what you intend. Lord, how marvelous you are, because every one of us has different needs, and somehow you can work that in every life. And so we expect that. We look forward to that, and we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. This, I believe you could say, is a psalm of praise. Are we to praise God? Oh, yeah. Notice number one, once again, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely." So we find here in this verse that praise, it's pleasant and comely. Comely really is somewhat of a synonym for pleasant, and it means attractive. So here's a psalm that is, first of all, telling us how marvelous it is to praise God. In verses 2 to 12, we find that he divulges some of the works of the Lord. Let's look at those just for a brief moment. In verse 2, he says, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel." Who is the one who put that nation together? Who's the one that takes care of it? Well, it's the Lord. He says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." I don't know about you, but it's marvelous when we can have somebody like the Lord that can heal our broken heart. He can take those old wounds that come upon us, and we're not talking about physical wounds, but wounds to the heart and the soul, and he can bring health to us. It says, "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." I don't know about you, but that verse absolutely amazes me. Now, if you go out at night from the city, you look up in the sky, and you'll see a few stars. You go out a ways into the country where you don't have all the lights of the city, and the sky gets a whole lot more full of the stars in the heavens. If you were to go visit or even have a telescope of your own, you'd be able to look up and see even more. And it almost seems like if you could get all the stars to shine to where you could see them marvelously, it'd almost be like the whole sky is white. And yet God knows how many there are. And he has names for each one of them. Wow. And he calls them by their names. Hey, how many of you grandparents here get your children and grandchildren mixed up? We can't even keep that straight. And yet God has a name for all the stars in the heaven, and he can call them by their name. Something to praise about. He telleth the number of the stars. I got that already. Verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I like that latter part. His understanding is infinite. How many have ever gotten something and you read the directions and you thought, what in the world is that talking about? How in the world am I supposed to do that? I don't understand it. But God's understanding is infinite. In other words, there is no stopping as far as it's concerned. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. And so God takes care of us according to our demeanor and so forth. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And so one of the things that we're going to praise him with is, as we sing, is having a thankful spirit. And then he talks about using an instrument. Here he uses the harp. Do you know we use a harp in our church every Sunday? Matter of fact, just a few moments ago, Chris was playing the harp. If you look into a real piano, we have an electronic one, but you look into a real piano, and especially a grand piano, and you lift up that top and you look down there, that's a harp laying there. And those keys are connected, the keyboard is connected to some little things that come down and hit each of those strings as you play it. So it's basically, they're a harpist. As a result of that, Chad says that Chris is a real angel because he's always harping about something. Anyway, I'm in trouble now. Verse number 8, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Hey, do you ever go outside and just look up at the clouds and look at that and say, my goodness. Not just the beauty, but here's all that water suspended up there in the air. And sometimes the sun hits it just so that, I mean, it is beautiful. How many ever look at the clouds and see different shapes and you say, oh, there's a dinosaur? My mother taught me that years ago. And I'll tell you why she taught me that, because we didn't have video games. And so she took me out and had me lay in the grass and look at the clouds. But it really gave me a great, great mindset in that regard. And so we look here, and he's the one that does that. He prepares the rain for the earth, makes the grass to grow. So it's talking about the works of God. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. And so God provides for them. Not only did he create them, but he gives them provision. And then notice verse 10-11, because it seems to take a little different turn. He says, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Well, I find that interesting. Here's a new thought. And it actually talks about the delight of the Lord. And he's saying here, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. And he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Well, he doesn't delight in physical strength. God, when he looks at you and me, he's not looking to see what our physique is. Matter of fact, we find the next verse, what he's looking for and what gives him pleasure. It says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that, what's it say? Fear him. In those that hope in his mercy. Wow. So delight of God, what is it? God delights in those who are fearing him. Now think about that for a moment. You know, it talks about us being like worms. It talks about our lowly condition. The Bible talks about our sinfulness and the depravity of our soul. And yet we find that God has great delight in those who will fear him. Consider a few other things that God delights in. We find in Proverbs 8, verse 30, that he delights in his son. Now, this is prophetic, I believe, but he says, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And the Son of God is the delight of the Father. By the way, not unlike human fathers and their sons. We find in the book of Proverbs also that he delights in honesty. In Proverbs 11:1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Abomination means really, really hated. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. But a just weight is his delight. What's talking about a just weight? He's talking about being honest in our dealings. God delights in honesty. He delights in righteousness. Proverbs 11:20 says, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Wow. He delights in prayers. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Do you ever think about that? Your heart goes out to the Lord as you begin to pray. God is delighting in that. I think it's because it's showing our fear. It's showing our dependence upon him. And of course, we find that he delights in those that fear him. Those who fear him are those who recognize that he is holy, recognize that as a result, his judgments are real and they are complete. His holiness, by the way, seems to be, in my opinion, from the Bible, his greatest asset, his greatest attribute. We find in the Word of God that the seraphim are singing of it continuously. Matter of fact, we have a song that comes from two portions of the Word of God that talk about that, and that is simply, holy, holy, holy. And it seems as though they are at the throne of God constantly singing the holiness of God. Now, as we think about the delight of God, I want to ask you a question. What do you delight in? What do you delight in? What excites you? I want to look in the Word of God and find some things that God says that we certainly ought to delight in. First of all, I want us to consider the law of God. In Psalm chapter number 1, you'll find there's something about two people in that psalm. And so we find one's good, one's evil. And it talks about in verses 1 through 3, the good, and it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, it has so many marvelous verses. Most of them, by the way, have to deal with the Word of God. I want to read a few of those. Verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Verse 35 says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 47 says, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Verse 70 says, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Verse 77 says, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Verse 174 says, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Right now in our nation, there are those that want all of our law enforcement eliminated. All good sense has gone out the door in many lives. That's not true for the vast majority, but the minority are the ones who are getting all the press. And I believe there's a reason for it. It's because they have no fear of God, and thus law is meaningless to them. But we also find something else that's interesting. Crime-ridden communities are very desirous of law and its enforcement. Interesting. And those who are wanting that have some concept of God and some concept of His commandments. Some concept of His law. And we've learned from Scripture the law really does two very important things. One, it reveals the nature of our righteous God. When you read the Ten Commandments, you can look at those and you see what we're not supposed to do, but we can see also who God is as a result of that. But it also unveils our sin nature. And both of these are for drawing us to God's mercy and grace. So what are we to delight in? We're to delight in the law of God. I believe we're to delight in the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 4, Psalm 37 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Word of God. And we find that there are several commands through this. Matter of fact, first four or five verses, it starts out, and there's no subject because it's understood. It's you. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Delight ourselves in Him. Listen, I ask you a question. What could excite us more than having a holy God forgive such as we are? Wow. This delight is shown, it's interesting to me, as a command because our life is generally all about ourselves. But we certainly ought to delight in the Lord. When we truly behold His beauty, His glory, His majesty, this command becomes a privilege for us. And nothing, listen, nothing can capture our attention when we're focused on Him. You know what the problem in life is? We worry about so many things. We get frustrated about so many things. And we're looking at things rather than a thing maker. We're looking at the problems rather than the problem solver. And He is the one that we ought to delight in. Listen, God not only saves us because we put our faith in Him, but God promises to sustain us. He says He'll keep us. And so we need to stop and think, wow, we got a tremendous Lord, and delight in the fact that we have the privilege to know Him. Here's another interesting concept. We ought to delight in His will. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. Listen, it's such a delight and rest to the mind when we know that we are in the will of God. Three times I have moved across this country. I moved from this city to Pontiac, Michigan, 750 miles. 3 years later, I moved from Pontiac, Michigan to, it actually became Mount Lake Terrace, the northern portion of Seattle. I'm glad I don't live there anymore. 2,500 miles. The third time we moved from Seattle back to here, 1,800 miles of driving, sometimes depends on the direction. And all three of those times was without a care as to how I would make a living. I simply knew it was God's will and delighted in that. Listen, when I moved to Seattle, Boeing aircraft had laid off, not only there but across the country, 80,000 workers. There was a sign as you left Seattle that says, last one out, turn off the lights. When we got there, the community we lived in, you could find two houses on every block that was empty. People had moved out. In 5 days, God gave me a job. I filled out about 85 applications, but God gave me a job. Didn't have internet then to do it the so-called easy way. You went here, you went there, went wherever. I simply knew it was God's will. Nothing compares with knowing His will and doing it. Listen, when we behold His omniscience, His complete knowledge, His infinite wisdom, we love taking our instructions from Him, knowing the direction to go. I don't know about you, but so often I don't know what to do, but God does. And when He shows me that, it's like, well, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And a third thing that I would mention to you tonight that I believe that you and I ought to really delight in And that is the thoughts that we can have of him. Think about this. In the book of Psalm 94, verse 19 says, "In the multitude of thy thoughts, within me thy comforts delight my soul." Our thoughts can see him as our creator, the one who made everything. See him as our sustainer, the one that keeps everything working, keeps the world going around, keeps the sun coming up every morning. Actually, we revolve. And the one who makes the crops grow, all of those things. He's our confidant. We can come to him. We can express all of our feelings to him, ask God to work. He is our comforter. Through the Spirit of God, we find comfort. He's our benefactor. I mean, we can go on and on with this. And our thoughts can see that. One of the great abilities almost lost today is that of meditation. Meditation. Now, we're not talking about sitting with our legs crossed and hands just so. I see people, We're not talking about that. We're not talking about emptying your mind. We're talking about filling it with some tremendous thoughts. And what is meditation? It's thinking about what we have seen of him in his word. We stop and can meditate on it. Very often you hear me, you hear Chad talk about it. We speak of being in the Word of God. We find it so important. Why is that? Because it is this Bible that shows us Jesus. It's this book whereby we can learn about the attributes and the marvelous being of our God. It's what opens our eyes to His glory. I guarantee you won't get that watching TV. I'm not against TV, but I'm going to tell you, you won't get that watching TV. You say, well, I watch the religious channel. I said, you won't get that watching TV. You ever watch the religious channels? Some of them are comedy hour. No, I got to stay off of that. You won't get that seeing the glory of God as you go on the internet. You'll not get it as you're playing your video games. Are you against the internet? No, I use it a lot. Are you against video games? No, I do some once in a while. I play checkers. No, I don't either. I play solitaire. I don't even know how to play checkers on the internet. I'm the world champion solitaire player. Did you know that? It's in my own little world, but anyway, that's the way it works. What are our thoughts of him? And how we ought to be so thankful and so blessed and have this pleasure in thinking about God. Delighting ourselves in those thoughts. Delighting ourselves in his will. Dividing ourselves in his law. Delighting ourselves in the Lord. Thankful so much tonight. We can have delights, but we can also be a delight to God. I believe we're a delight to him when we have these delights ourselves, because they come as we fear him. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we want to thank you tonight for the blessed privilege that we have to just have the excitement of God within our soul. To be able to stop and look at and have pleasure in our God. Lord, so often we, as Christians, zero in on so much just our do this, do that, and do the other thing. And though they be important, how we need just to take our pleasure in you. Father, bless in the moments to follow, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.